Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you and how was your weekend? I bet you're thinking, why couldn't we have the bank holiday weekend next weekend? They're saying temperatures of 20 degrees. It didn't really deliver, did it? I know there were bits of weather around the country, but there was no prolonged sunshine. Where I was anyway. 51551ray@rte.ie. Do you know what I did on Saturday morning, which is something that not many people get an opportunity to do? You know the park run? It happens all over the world. It was started by a man in England and it's been going for years. 9:30 Saturday morning. Hundreds of thousands of people all over the world get out and run a 5K in their local park. And that's it. And it's free, organised by volunteers, and great sense of community. And a lot of people who do it then sit down and have a cup of tea and a bun afterwards and have a chat. And it's a great social outlet. It's getting out there and being active. Well, on Saturday morning, I did the park run in Mountjoy Prison. Yes, they were celebrating 100 park runs in the prison. There's a guy called Eddie in there and he's involved in physical health and gym, and he set it up a few years ago. They had to seek special permission, obviously, from the governor, Eddie Mullins, and from the people who run Park Run, but they got permission. And now every Saturday morning when they can, obviously it was paused like a lot of park runs during lockdown. But when they can, they do it every Saturday morning at 9:30, and it's 7.5 laps around the main prison. 7.5 laps. You get dizzy. Now, I met some very interesting people. It was a real eye-opener for me. I'd been in Dorcas years ago, but I was a young lad and I wasn't at that stage where I was asking important questions and looking at things critically. But I'm older and wiser now, and met loads of interesting people. The thing that immediately struck me was how important this park run is to the prisoners every Saturday morning. Running has changed their lives. Brilliant for their mental health and loads of other things. And I got chatting to lads and they were saying, yeah, never ran outside. And you can, you know, crack all the jokes you like about that. But now I'm in here, I found this and it's amazing. And I didn't know, but there's two parts of Mountjoy Prison. You probably knew this already, but there's the main prison, over 400 prisoners. And then there's progression. And as the name suggests, as you progress, if you're well behaved, you get to go from the main prison into progression, and there's about 100 prisoners there, and they're the ones who are allowed to do the park run if they so wish. And I think they have a choir there as well. And then if you behave well there and you do a number of courses, then you go into an open prison. And I read that book, and I mentioned it a good few times, called Humankind. And they write a full chapter about the prison service in Norway, completely different to what we do here. And their rates of repeat offenders, I'll say it that way. The number of repeat offenders in Norway is way down on countries like Ireland and England and America because of their prison system, they reckon. And it's more about rehabilitation than punishment. I suppose you can claim that the punishment is the incarceration and the taking away of your freedom. Anyway, spoke to loads of amazing people, saw what the park run means to them, and we'll come back to that because I've been listening to Lynn Ruan's podcast, Conversations from the Margins, and she speaks to Karen McCaffrey, who's the Director General of the Irish Prison Services. And I think she might be a good woman to come in and have a chat. I think people would be interested to hear what she has to say about our prison services and what's going on and what are the plans for the future. But for the moment, that's what I did on Saturday morning. What did you do on Saturday morning? No, I'm joking. Joe was talking about pronunciations, and it's a perennial, isn't it? The Irish words abroad, give somebody a Siobhan or a Niamh or whatever and see what they can do with it. You would think that Nicola would be straightforward enough. Nicola, yes. But our Nicola Coughlan, her of Derry Girls and Bridgerton, was at the Met Gala last night. Now, I have my opinion on the Met Gala. And anyway, but she was there and the paparazzi were trying to get her attention so that she would pose and tell them what she was wearing. What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? That's not to say, who are you wearing? Anyway, and this is them trying to get her attention, the paparazzi and Nicola Coughlan.
Which one?
Did you get that? Nicola. That's what they call her. Nicola. Jessie Buckley, that's easy enough for them. She wore a Schiaparelli pinstripe suit and a broad-brimmed hat with a drawn-on pencil moustache. Yeah. And Paul Mescal was there as well. So there was a lot of Irish on show at the Met Ball. And, of course, the main Irish appearing in New York over the weekend was Katie Taylor at the Radisson Square Gardens, and her beating Amanda Serrano in that fight. I don't know if you saw it. I watched the highlights on YouTube. I'm a big fan of Katie Taylor. I'll say that first. I'm a big fan of her. And the things that she has achieved for women in sport are amazing. Just amazing. And she is such an amazing athlete, so disciplined. But it was a savage fight, lads. It was savage. You could nearly say barbaric. The last round in particular, it looked like it was sped up. There were so many punches been thrown. Now, I see some people are saying, and I would agree with them, if you were Katie Taylor, but we're not, look, that's it. You know, walk away, because that was amazing. You've nothing more to prove. But they're talking about a rematch in Croke Park or some other big stadium in Ireland. And I suppose for Katie, that would be an amazing homecoming in front of a home crowd. And that would be very special. She's comparing what happened on Saturday with her gold medal win in London in 2012. I'm not a big fan of boxing, a big fan of Katie Taylor. I know you might think that the two can't sit, but they can. But anyway, it's up there on YouTube if you want to. I cried, not there weren't tears of pride. I was disturbed watching it, actually. I was disturbed watching it. 515 Ray@RTE.ie. We're heading towards the Eurovision. We got an email in from Mark Roberts. Mark who? Well, Mark says, hope this finds you well and happy. This coming Tuesday, the 3rd of May, which is today, will be the 25th anniversary of me coming second for Ireland in the Eurovision in 1997 with Mysterious Woman. Remember that?
Mysterious woman, what did you see? The kind of spell you put on me.
That's the last time Ireland came top three, Mark tells us. I'm trying to remind people on the day. Any help, mentions, etc. will be gratefully appreciated. Well, we're delighted to celebrate your 25th anniversary with you, Mark.
To the kind of spell you put on me.
And Mark sang that in Dublin in front of a home crowd following the country's victory at the 1996 contest with the song The Voice by Eimear Quinn. And that was the fourth time in 5 years that Ireland had hosted the contest, and a record sixth time that it was staged in Dublin. Mark came second. So close and yet so far away. And little did we know then that was the last time Ireland would appear in the top three. Till now, 25 years on. Anyway, we'll see what happens this time round. And we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks. Still on music, we spoke to Taras from Antichilla. Antichilla are a Ukrainian band. They're a bit like The Script, sort of rock pop. And we spoke to Taras a few weeks ago, near the beginning of the war. And he was telling us that him and his bandmates had joined the forces in Ukraine. And the reason we spoke to him at the time was they were trying to get on the bill of the Concert for Ukraine, which was organised by Ed Sheeran and his people in the UK and was broadcast then on ITV. And the organisers refused to include Antichilla because the event is only able to focus on the humanitarian situation, is what they said. And the band were currently fighting the Russians in the Ukrainian capital, Kiev. But anyway, Ed Sheeran did say at the time that he was going to be looking them up, checking out their music. And the good news for them is that they've got together with Ed Sheeran. So I filmed the video for Two Step in the city of Kiev, Ukraine, before the devastating acts of violence started to take place. It was my first time visiting the country and I felt so welcome during my stay there. Everyone from the production crew. So they've done a little duet together, Ed Sheeran and Antichilla, which is great news for them, I suppose. Um, Is the music a great thing in showing solidarity? And it works so well in bringing people together. It'd be great if we could do something as a country musically to show our solidarity with Ukraine. I know there was talk about recording the Ukrainian national anthem and maybe getting it to number one. Wouldn't that be just? And I know it's not a physical thing. It's not humanitarian, but it's a show of solidarity through music. That might be a nice thing. Let's see if we can. And maybe Anticilla would get involved in that and other people, because we had Nick in. Nick was the man who brought the president of Ukraine to Ireland about 5 years ago when he was a stand-up comedian. We spoke to him. He would have contacts with people in Ireland of Ukrainian origin who are able to sing. So, yeah, there's something there. There is something there. What makes a good neighbour? Well, they've done a survey in the UK. They interviewed or surveyed 2,000 UK adults. And they asked them, you know, what makes a good neighbour? So most of them, you know, checks in on elderly or poorly neighbours, yeah. Warns you before they have a party. Yes, that's always a good one. Takes the bins in for neighbours if they're on holidays, good. Keeps an eye on your home when you're away or on holidays, that's good. But the number one thing from this survey, what makes a decent neighbour? It's a sign of our times. I'll give you a clue. It's a sign of our times. If this wouldn't have appeared 10 years ago. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, the measure of a decent neighbour is somebody who accepts deliveries. There you go. That's accepts deliveries. Huh? Have you heard of these, the sequel wedding? No? That's new one, the sequel wedding. Well, it's not to do with movies. It's to do with the pandemic and the lockdown and the fact that a lot of people had very small weddings because of the restrictions put in place during the pandemic. So now a sequel wedding is doing it again. So you might have had a very small one, now you're having a bigger one. It's a two-part wedding, a sequel wedding, a follow-up celebration that takes place sometime after ceremony, which is usually small or intimate. But they used to do that. That was a thing, wasn't it? That you'd have a small thing with just your family, maybe dinner in a restaurant, and then you'd have a party later on. I was at a number of those over the years. But they're officially called sequel weddings now. So if you're invited, you'll know. They're expensive, aren't they, weddings? And I'm not just saying for the people who are having them, but the people who have to go to them. I remember one year, like whatever stage I was in my life and whatever stage my partner at the time was in her life, but we went to 11 weddings in one year. Now that's, you know, and you can't be wearing the same suit to every wedding. And then there's the stay over in the hotel and there's the gift. That was an expensive year. So an invitation to a wedding isn't always a good thing. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I'll tell you about our quiz in a moment. A great prize this week in the Wineport Lodge for two people each day. I recently completed 200 park runs, says John, with my daughter who completed her 100th on the same day. I run three times a week with my former PE teacher, aged 81. He's completed every park run in Northern Ireland, including one in McGilligan Prison. Park run is great and a wonderful way of meeting new people. And neighbours, as a sheep farmer, I would say that good fences make good neighbours. But there you go. 51551 on ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Soul to soul, get a life on RT Radio 1. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Regards neighbours, a good neighbour is the one who is in your vicinity but not in your pocket. Good, yeah. And got married during lockdown, bought a camper van, delighted. Big weddings are a load of crap, says that person. And get off the fence. How do you really feel? When it arrives in the post, this is a wedding invitation. We call it a wedding invoice, not a wedding invitation, says Martin. I didn't give your second name, Martin, just to protect you, just in case anybody who's inviting you to a wedding is listening. Who's this now? We better get the name here. That's a long one. It's a long one, but it's worth it. It's Maria Burke. Maria Burke and her experience of Ed Sheeran. Now, I'll get into position here now because it's long. I felt compelled to send a mail. I will be 60 next year. I'm currently completing my master's in TUS, the psychotherapy of relationship mentoring. I left for Thurles from West Cork on Friday at 8 o'clock. Happy out joining my college group. I got a call from a mum of my daughter Abby's friend saying she had tickets for Ed Sheeran in Cork, and by any chance could I go as an adult? Was needed to go with three girls under 16. I was allergic! Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark! They're important for what follows. Ray, if someone had said to me on Friday morning I'd be going to Ed Sheeran in Cork, I'd have et my hat. It took coordinating girls, clothes changing, tickets collecting and meeting my husband to collect the girls and head to Ed. I've been to many concerts in my time and unless I have a seat, I will not go. I stood almost at the front of the stage with three gorgeous girls and sang my heart out. What a night. I was definitely the oldest swinger in town and hats off to Ed Sheeran. What a performance. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, Ed. The young people around me were amazing, chatty and engaging and my age didn't matter. How lucky was I for the opportunity and of course in my beautiful city of Cork. So it was worth the time, effort, travelling, traffic jams and standing for 5 hours and being present and in the moment. Thank you, Ed Sheeran, and what a beautiful, powerful experience, one I'll never forget. I love you, Ed Sheeran, says Maria Burke in West Cork. Again, get off the fence, Maria. How do you feel about Ed? How do you feel? Isn't that lovely? I love that. Love it. We have to be open to new experiences, boys, girls, yes. Now, reeling in the ears, it's our daily quiz. We're looking for two people to come on and answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize to celebrate the opening of Cedarwood Spa at Wineport Lodge. We are giving one lucky listener a chance to win a blissful two-night weekend break at Wineport Lodge outside Athlone. Stay in a deluxe Lakeview room with your own lakeshore balcony, breakfast at your leisure each morning. Enjoy dinner together one evening outdoors if weather permits, a blissful treatment at Cedarwood Spa, a signature seaweed bath and use of the lakeshore infinity pool. My God, sounds amazing. This idyllic lodge in Ireland's hidden heartlands is a renowned haven of easy luxury, boasting numerous accolades. A little over an hour from Dublin, unless from Galway, you'll feel a world away at Wineport Lodge. And a serene and intimate space, Cedarwood Spa fits seamlessly into the heart of the lodge and complements its cosy, peaceful atmosphere. More information, wineport.ie, wineport.ie. So if you want to be given a chance to win that, and come on, answer a few questions after 4 o'clock. First of all, you have to answer a qualifying question, which is this. Katie Taylor made history at the weekend winning her Madison Square Garden boxing bout, but what famous GAA grounds is pipped to host the rematch? Katie Taylor made history at the weekend winning her Madison Square Garden boxing bout, but what famous GAA grounds is pipped to host a rematch? 0818 715 925, 0818 715 925, and good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 for your text. Now last week we had a fascinating conversation with Pat O'Mahony about the lack of options for retired people in Ireland, in particular the lack of retirement villages. And Pat feels so strongly about it that he's written a book. Options for old people in Ireland seem to be limited to living with adult children, living in a nursing home or trying to live alone with limited help. During our chat with Pat, we were contacted by many people who said they have found a better way, and a name that came up over and over again, and indeed it's mentioned in Pat's book, is Macaulay Place in Naas. I'm joined now by Dennis Hines, who's a resident of Macaulay Place. How are you doing, Dennis?
Very well, Ray, thank you.
Good to see you. And Margarita, say your surname.
Solan.
Solan, right. Who was one of the founders of Macaulay Place. Thanks so much for coming in. And you sent us an email, Margarita, because what we were talking about was resonating with you. So you did it before Pat had even put pen to paper.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
How long is Macaulay Place in existence?
First resident came in, I think it was about 2011, but we started the organisation in 2000. It took us 9 years to get the funding, but we did it.
Right.
And yeah, so after 9 years of amazing, amazing voluntary work and incredible support from the local community, we finally got the funding from the government to do it.
I love reading about you because you had a vision in your head.
It was amazing.
And when did you first get that vision in your head?
I nursed amazing old people. I specialised in oncology, but I gravitated towards working with old people. And in my head, in all these places that I was working, I was saying, this is wrong. And if I could change it, I would have, okay, great interior design. I would have access to a lovely garden. It wouldn't be the place where all the older people are. It wouldn't be all uniforms and medicine. It would be arts and culture. So in my head, I had the whole thing designed and never thought it would be anything more than that. until a
so
neighbour.
So did you work in nursing homes?
I was a nurse, yes.
In nursing homes, first oncology then,
but I gravitated to nursing homes.
Nursing homes. So you were seen as it is for most people.
Absolutely.
When they reach a certain age, and you thought there's got to be a better way.
Totally. And like, I was so gifted by having access to these amazing people that were gifting my life. And I'm going like, why can't everybody else be meeting these amazing people that are nurturing me? I was nursing them, but they were nurturing me.
Yeah.
So in my head, it was kind of, they have to be in the community, but they were my age once.
Of course.
And we all say, I don't want to get there. I don't want to do that. And I'm going, okay, but I'm going to be their age. What's going to be there for me?
Yeah. And you had one of your neighbours as well.
Had a stroke, an amazing, amazing guy, Paddy Murray and his wife, Essie. They had no children, so no grandchildren. And myself and my husband had moved from other counties to where we were, so we didn't have extended family. And we were just a perfect fit. And Paddy across the road had a stroke. And I realised that if he gets well enough to come back to his house, but his house isn't suitable for him, he's going to end up somewhere that he shouldn't be. And that's when I said, you're going to have to do something, because I'm married to a Paddy. And I said, if something happens my Paddy, we could be in the same situation. And I said, just do it now. I hadn't a clue, not a clue. Nurse Marguerite had decided, OK, we're going to do this. But the community of NACE were just unbelievable with the faith they put into the vision that I had.
Yeah. And your vision chimes with the vision that Atul Gawande writes about in Being Mortal.
Yeah.
And in a way, and I said it last week, we can be 20, 30, 40 years behind America, can't we, in these things?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Pat's experience in Australia, they've been doing retirement villages for 40 years. And did you know that this was going on elsewhere in the world? No, you just had a singular vision in your head.
Totally,
in
no idea. Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I hadn't a clue how to do it. I'd have died trying, Ray. I was so convinced this has to be. And I could, in my head, I could see what it was like. I could see people living in this place. I really could see it. And nothing would have stopped me. But like, again, like NACE people were incredible. And the number of volunteers that came on board and are still there as well. Like, we couldn't have done it without them.
And the important thing is, well, a couple of important things. The one you've laid it out there, it's very important to say, we're all going to be, you know, if we're lucky enough, get to your age, Dennis.
Exactly,
That's one thing. And the only option for a lot of people now is stay at home or go to a nursing home. That's not a great choice, really, is it? It's Hobson's choice.
No. Or go and live with one of your adult children. If you go and live with one of your adult children, you're not living in your own home, you're living in their house. And no matter how much you love them, you're away from all of your own social connections. You know, your own butcher, baker, candlestick maker, your own doctor, your own hairdresser, your own chemist, your own everything else. So it's really, really, really important that we've got somewhere close to us, that we still have all the reference points and all the supports that we had before.
I'm going to go back to you. We'll do it out of chronological order, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll go to Dennis. So Dennis, you and Sylvie, your wife.
Celia.
Yeah. Celia, your wife, spotted Macaulay Place when?
Well, there was a meeting, I think, in Macaulay Place, which we attended. And Margarita was there. And that's how it all started for us.
Right.
And I liked what was said at that meeting. They showed us some apartments, which were very nice, and I'm very, very lucky to be living there.
Yeah.
And my wife, the Lord of Mercy, and she loved it there. It's a vibrant place, interesting people. We have a fantastic coffee shop. We have a residence lounge, where if you get fed up in your apartment, you can go over to the residence lounge and relax, and there's settees and armchairs and everything in there. And it's just one of these places right on top of the town. So you don't have to have a car you don't need a car, really.
Yeah.
So
when did Celia die?
Celia died 3 years ago.
Right. And how many years had you been in Macaulay Place before that?
We were there from the beginning.
Right.
Right from the beginning, yeah.
Okay, yeah. 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 And where did you come from then? What sort of a house were you renting, or did you own your house?
Well, we'd lived in the UK for a long time and then came back to a little village in Cork. And from there, I came to a meeting at Macaulay Place, and it all started from there.
Right, okay. So you've no connection with NACE or Kildare? Or?
Not really.
No.
Family, a lot of family.
Oh, dear,
around.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So back to your head then, Margarita. So then, at what stage did you share this with other people?
Well, I hadn't a clue what to do. So I went to some of the local politicians and kind of said, you know, what do I do? Or, you know, how do I go about this? This is what I plan to do. And like, I was sent, to be quite honest, on a wild goose chase, you know, around kind of health service providers and people in the health system. And it was only when I heard Gerry Cowley on the radio, that you referenced him last week in Mulroney. And I went down to him. I phoned him and I went down to him the following week. And he told me about the Irish Council for Social Housing, which is an umbrella organisation for voluntary housing groups. And then I realised, oh, OK, so we've got to form a voluntary housing association. So got the pathway in that, and the Irish Council for Social Housing were amazing in holding our hand to get the voluntary housing association going. So we got some people from the local community to come on, form a board. We formed a board, and we got charitable status, and then we identified the property that we were going to work in, which was the Convent of Mercy in Naas, which is, it's just, it's an amazing, because the location is so important.
What was your pitch to these people to get them on board? Not the official people, but the volunteers. What was your pitch to them?
We need it. Like, we're all aging. There's nowhere there for us. Where are you going to go? Everybody's saying, oh, shoot me if I get to that stage, or I'll take the tablet or anything else. But
put a pillow over my head or whatever.
Everybody's saying it, but then I'm saying, what are you going to do when you get to that stage? It's going to be too late for you. Do you want to actually create the kind of place that you'd want to go to? So what I want to do is this. You know, I want somewhere in the heart of my own town. I don't want it to be a medical model. I want it to be artistic and creative. I don't want it to be a place that everybody says, that's where the old people live. I want it to be a place that people would choose to go to. And they came on board.
Right.
Lions Club were the first. Lions Club and JF Dunn Insurances were the first two that actually gave us any funding. And then, like, we had a golf classic in 2006 that raised €100,000. We had sixth class primary school doing a cake sale that brought in €650. So another sixth class wanted to make €670. So they did. They did another fundraiser. Okay. Like, people were. I can't say all the people that did it, and by naming one, I should name the other. They made it all possible.
And as Pat was saying, the Australian model is half of them are provided by organisations like yourselves, and half of them are by commercial organisations.
Okay.
And both seem to work in Australia. Mm-hmm. So you sort of earmarked a property, which was the local disused convent.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And was there a price on that at the time?
Yes. The Sisters of Mercy were unbelievable. I would have to say, like, we couldn't have done it without their patience and their support. And they gave us very good funding as well. So they said that we could buy it once we got planning permission. You know, they wouldn't sell it to anybody else, and they would hold it for us until we got planning permission.
Wow.
So it took us 3 years to get planning permission. And to get planning permission, you've got architect's fees and you've got engineer's fees and quantity surveyors and all the rest of it. So we fundraised for those 3 years. And we got our planning permission for 37 apartments at that stage. Yeah, we're doing it. You know, all the people in Naas would be saying, how's it going? And when are you getting another next week? So we finally got our planning permission, and we went to the Department of Environment. You know, our understanding was, once you have your planning, you get your funding. And we were told no. What do you
Why?
Mean? No, we have waited 3 years for this. It's not value for money. If we went for a greenfield site, it would have been value for money, because they could only evaluate it in terms of bricks and mortar. This is what it would cost. But what we were doing, it was a listed building, so there was a lot of extra hidden costs in it.
Right.
So what would we do? And in fairness to the people of Naas and the board, the entire community, we went back to the drawing board and we did another planning application that would be a higher density. So it would be value for money. So instead of 37 apartments, it was 53 apartments.
Right.
It took us 3 more years to get the second planning permission.
Right.
And we got it. The first planning
permission. You were dogged, weren't you?
I'd have died trying.
Yes,
I was so convinced. I really would. Yeah, yeah. We got our first planning permission on the 19th of May 2003.
Yeah.
We got our second planning permission on the 19th of May 2006. And it took us 3 more years to get funding approval from the department.
Yeah.
And we got it on the 19th of May 2009. You know my birthday is? The 19th of May.
But there's something else outside
of this organisation. And I say that it's the spirit of the people that I had nursed that had really, really dreadful end of life that fed in to, I don't know how it works, but it works. And their energy helped us to keep going.
Now, will you, I see that you have the book in front of you.
Atul Gawande. I don't know how many copies of this.
The listeners to this show will be bored hearing about this book. But will you tell them about it? Because I'm sick, blue in the face telling them about it. What is the thesis there? So it's being mortal Atul Gawande.
It says here, it's illness, medicine and what matters in the end. I have bought more copies of this than I've had hot dinners, and I haven't the next one ready to give to somebody else. And we all need to read it, because no matter what we do, no matter where we go, we are going to die. But this book is about having the best quality of life that you possibly can before you die. And why are you trying to prolong it artificially? Why don't you put the whole energy and effort into making it a good ending and a good end of life? It's amazing.
Which is a good cue for Dennis, because all of the things that he, you don't know this, but all the things that he outlines in the book, you get in Macaulay Place.
Yes,
you
indeed.
You are you independent?
Totally independent.
Yes.
Totally independent.
Is there flexibility?
Lots of flexibility.
Yeah.
And the residents there are just, they're so happy there. It's a happy place to live.
Yeah.
And we have a residence lounge. We have a beautiful coffee shop, reception area, which is always manned. And it's just one of these places that I wouldn't, if I became a millionaire tomorrow, I wouldn't live anywhere else. I wouldn't move out of Macaulay Place.
I went on the website and there was a click on a video for you. I think the journal.ie do it. And I said, I recognise that man from somewhere. and then I did
you
a little bit of searching.
You have a celebrity.
You were on First Dates, right?
I was, yes.
Yes,
I was.
Wait, how long ago?
That's a couple of years ago, and then I was on Graduation Dating as well.
What's Graduation Dating now?
And that was similar to First Dates.
Right.
All done in the Gibson Hotel in Dublin.
Yeah, how did you get on with First Dates?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah. I enjoyed being on there, yeah.
Yeah. And are you dating anybody at the moment?
No.
No?
No.
But you're available?
Well, if I meet the right one, yeah.
Yeah. So you're in an apartment and yourself and Celia shared that. And did you downsize then when Celia died?
No, I stayed.
You stayed?
No, I stayed in the same. It's a ground floor apartment.
Right.
And it's a lovely apartment.
Yeah.
Very happy there.
Right.
Wouldn't live anywhere else.
Yeah, even if you won the lotto.
No.
What about Euro Millions now? If you won Euro Millions. No, I'm joking.
I take some of that money from Macaulay Place to finish our health. We've to finish the Health Through Learning Centre, so I take the money for that.
Which brings us nicely onto the finances of it.
Okay.
Margarita. So how does it work? What's the model?
Okay, so it's a social housing scheme, okay? Even though 75% of the residents are from local authority housing or eligible to be, and 25% are of independent means. So we got 7.4 million from the government to build the apartments, okay? And we get no ongoing funding from the government as such. So we depend on the rents that are coming in from the residents to run the place. We couldn't do what we do without the volunteers. So that brings a huge amount of unpaid supported work to the place.
Yeah.
They're priceless. They're absolutely priceless. So we have a small number of staff. Mark, the general manager. We have a facilities manager, Ross. There's a manager in the tea rooms. There's an assistant.
But that's open to the public as well, is it?
Oh, very important.
Yes.
Yeah, anything that we organise in the place is rarely, if ever, organised just for the residents.
Yes.
I'll come back
and
to
that. And that's important for a number of reasons, for money stream,
yes.
And for the fact that everyone's mixing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to be a vibrant, upcoming place.
Yes.
We do things then like, and come back to finance in a minute if you want to, but like in the Arts and Culture Centre, there are all sorts of concerts and events going on. In fact, this Thursday, Jerry Fish is going to be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Mark, the manager, asked me just to make sure to mention that tickets are available in ticketstop.ie for Jerry Fish, which is and just in an old
chapel.
It's a
lovely venue. It's an old, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Stained glass window and all. Yeah. It's a lovely place. I'm sure the acoustics are good. Are they?
Very terrific.
Yeah.
Acoustics
are very
Dennis
cool.
has organised some concerts there himself.
Yes, I have. We'll do again in the
right.
future.
Who've you brought?
Oh, we had different bands there, and I had 12 ladies one time, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Is that the name of the band?
In a band. Mm. 12 ladies, yeah.
Right.
Christy Moore is a patron of the organisation,
so
and Christy's been down
Moore
a couple
did,
of times as well. Yeah. We've also had weddings, like the venue can be hired out for weddings, which is just incredible.
Fantastic weddings.
And then we have a woodland garden as part of the development, and so you can spill out into the woodland garden. We had Conor Begley, Cormac Begley, just amazing musician.
We've had him on,
there,
he's amazing. Yeah.
But he did a concert in that woodland garden, which was just incredible.
Yeah.
Really, really beautiful. Yeah.
So, you have 53 apartments?
Correct, yes.
Right, so, and there's a small number of couples, so you have around 60 people.
Yes.
Paying
60,
rent.
Yes.
But it's nominal.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And is there some, if people have means then, when they come to you first, they pay an upfront
upfront key money. Okay, so we'll go back. 75% of the residents are from local authority housing or eligible to be. So if I'm living in a local authority house and I'm not managing in the three bedrooms, I can give that back, you know, give it up to the council, and then I can get an apartment in Macaulay Place.
Right.
So I would pay whatever rent I can afford, and it's subvented, means tested by Kildare County Council. We've no involvement with that. We just get the rent from the resident. That's it. People of independent means, the 25%, pay the same rent as the people in the 75% category, but they pay an upfront key money of €45,000.
So they could sell their house.
Yes, I could sell my house tomorrow and move into Macaulay Place, and I keep the money apart from €45,000 key money. Now, this is important. That's on a sliding scale over 5 years. So if I die in the first year that I move into Macaulay Place, 4/5 of that €45,000 goes back to my estate.
Okay.
And at the end of 5 years, there's no liability there. And throughout, I'm still paying just the rent, the weekly rent.
How do you qualify? You have to be over 65.
You have to be over 65 years of age, or over, able to look after your activities of daily living, in other words, wash, dress and feed yourself. If you need full-time nursing care, no. But you can have a carer, you can have a housekeeper, you know, you can have your public health nurse calling into you.
Have you got a queue? Have you got a list of people?
Yeah. We give priority to people from Naas and the surrounding areas. So Dennis wasn't from Naas, he has relatives nearby, but in the early stages, it was easier to if you weren't from the catchment area, but now it's harder if you're from outside, you know, if you're not from the county.
Well, people know what it is now, and they know what it has to offer.
Exactly.
And they've heard people like Dennis and other people singing its praises, so they want a bit of it.
Yes, exactly.
Now, have you had interest from all over the country over the years of people looking to set up a similar thing in their own towns and villages?
I could have had a full-time job actually bringing people around to show them what it is that we're doing, and I would do it all
and
the time.
Have any of those that you know of come to fruition?
Not that I'm aware of, to be quite honest with you, but like it has sown seeds, and I don't know how long it takes. Look how long it took us to get ours going. But I think we've inspired people. I think also even policies like doing housing for older people on the periphery of a town or, you know, isolated, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. We've proven how well it works. We're actually in the National Development Plan as an exemplar, the 2040 National Development Plan. We've been highlighted in some European case studies, and President Higgins has recommended as a national exemplar.
I think we've a copy of Pat's book upstairs, which we must give to you.
Okay, great.
One of Pat's big things was that it needs to be strategic planning.
Yes.
It can't happen in a haphazard
way. Absolutely not.
You know, that this has to be written into policy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because look at all the hoops you had to jump through to get there. And without your doggedness, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, but you talk about policy rate. Like one of the things that I used from the very beginning, one of the benchmarks that we used in all our policy planning and everything else is a document that's not really addressed enough. And it's the United Nations Principles for Older Persons. I will not read them all out to you, but I do want to read two of them, okay? One of them says that older persons should have access to educational, cultural, spiritual and recreational resources of society. Now, that's a human right. Okay, if I'm stuck in my house and I'm not able to get out and I'm getting a carer in once a week, my human rights are being abused. I have to be enabled to go out. We did it with people with disability before. We kept them in and we didn't allow them access. Now it's level access footpaths and buses and everything else. But for older people that are isolated in their own homes, that's one. And I want to come back to that in a second if I can. And the other one is that older persons should have access to healthcare. This is really important. To help them to maintain or regain, not just maintain or regain the optimum level of physical, mental and emotional well-being, and to prevent or delay the onset of illness. Now, if the policy is just to keep me in my own home and have a carer coming in to me, say, twice a week, what am I doing for all the other hours in that day that the carer comes in and all the other days? I'm losing mobility. I'm losing brain function. You know, this fight or flight syndrome is if somebody's going to come in through that door, I'm ready. But if nobody's coming in, the brain is very, very clever. It starts to shut down. So is policy at the moment incubating people for long-term care as opposed to supporting them and enabling them to be well and mortal for as long as they can?
And of course, this is as a result of a changing demographic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm thinking back to my childhood. My granny lived across the green from us. There were 9 kids. She came across, helped my mum minding us with the ironing. There was Esther down the road who came up and helped bath us on a Saturday evening. All of that sort of extended family.
Yeah.
Because families are smaller and people have to move away from the localities to work, that sort of scaffolding of support isn't there anymore.
Yes.
for older people.
Yes.
And there isn't the connectivity. Mm-hmm. So we need to create it, don't we?
If we have an intergenerational space, and even with all our volunteers, Dennis, you know the way, we're all big family. We all become friends. We're independent of each other, but we support each other at the same time. It's subliminal. You said, the neighbours are down the road. So it's all connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, the problem is that we can't measure the positive effect it's had on you. What age are you now, Dennis?
I'm 81 now.
Yeah. But there's no way to measure. If Dennis wasn't in Macaulay Place, what he'd be like, because obviously he has made a choice and you're looking great on it. And
thank you.
You are very dapper as well.
Thank you.
So I don't know what the answer is. And you're too busy doing what you do.
I've retired now. I've passed on the baton, and I think this was really important because I had an identity with the place, but it's really important. It's not about any one individual.
No.
It's about the team, and it was really important. And there's an amazing board now, bringing it in the direction that they see that it has to go. And that's really, really important. Mm. But we need one of these in every town in Ireland. If you think, great, 1 hour of care per week, 1 hour is €25. So if I get 4 hours of care just today, that's €100.
Yeah.
But what about all the other hours and all the other days? Yes, it's not sustainable, but it's not what we want.
I did the maths on it. And Pat was saying that the demand for this is 15% of people over 65. But in rural areas, it's up as far as 63% of people. Right.
Okay.
So this is at the low end.
Mm.
You would need about 117 places per 10,000.
That's very good. Yeah.
Around that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Maybe a bit more than that. Sorry, 217 per 10,000. So, for example, Naas, with a population of around 20,000, you would need 435 places like this to meet the demand.
But it's a really cost-effective way of us having a better end of life and a much more desirable way. Do the maths on it.
Yeah.
It, as you said, the quality of life for the people
the
that are living
life,
there.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all to that thing right back to the start. And it's what you, the wisdom, this, and we talk about the wisdom, that we accrue as we go through life. And then, it should be there to be shared.
Absolutely. There's one last piece in our jigsaw, and that is, I spoke about the Health Through Learning Centre. You can't see it now, we're not live, but that's the garden in Macaulay Place. But attached to the garden, we have this building that dates back to the mid-1800s. We've already spent a couple of €100,000 on it, but we've no funding left and we want to finish it. Health Through Learning. It's going to be a Health Through Learning Centre. So through learning something, you can maintain your level of health and well-being. That's the whole point, artistic and creative. And it will be a space that will have a community sitting room in it, community lounge. So if you're on your own at home and you've nowhere to go to, you can come down and just hang out in this community lounge. But through this community lounge, there's the people going into to crafty things like wood turning or weaving or flower arranging or basket making, with accommodation upstairs for an artist in residence, leading out to this woodland garden.
One of the criticisms we got last week when we were speaking to Pat O'Mahony was, I don't want to be, ghettoised, as an older person. I don't want to be shoved off to some place where old people go.
Yeah.
And that's not the plan, is it?
Absolutely not.
No,
no, no. No. This is intergenerational in our own community.
It's just fantastic. And it's private living. The community are fantastic.
Yeah, independent.
We have everything there, independent. There should be one in every town, as Margarita said.
And you feel secure as well, Dennis?
Very secure.
Yes.
We have CCTV cameras all over the place, so you feel very, very safe there.
Yeah.
I must say.
Somebody asked me once, what do you do when you get sick? And I loved the question, because my answer was, well, what do you do when you get sick? Do you phone your landlord or do you phone your doctor?
Yeah.
We're not a medical model. If a resident needs a doctor, they phone the doctor. If a resident feels I could do with some home help, they phone the HSC and they find the pathway there. The public health nurse will come in,
This type of development is exactly what we need for people who want this situation. I would free up thousands of houses.
Yes.
It would free up thousands of houses. This must be replicated all over the country. And in the case of that lady talking about how her application was refused on the basis that it wasn't value for money, it seems that value for money in the eyes of those making very important decisions on our behalf comes down to a balance sheet as opposed to the well-being of society.
Great statement.
But even on the money, if you do the calculations on how much it costs to care for people, etc., it makes economic sense, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yes. This has to stop if we were ever to solve many of our social problems, as Ronan. And is Macaulay Place a sheltered housing project? Lots of them around. They're fantastic.
You can call it sheltered housing if you want, but we call it independent living.
Okay.
Independent living.
Yeah.
And it's different than, the houses that older people go into, you know, say in a sort of a council estate or whatever, isn't it?
Yes, I went to see a fantastic development in Manhattan in Kansas, and it was quite an expensive private development, but again, it was all old people that were just there, you know, and like, why are we ghettoising people because of age? Well, let's put all 40 to 50 year olds in this housing estate, and let's put all, you know, 20 to 30 year olds in this housing estate. Like, that's just ridiculous.
And it's ageing in your own place as well. I know, Dennis, you're an exception here, but still you have connections with Kildare. But you need to be able to grow old in the place where you lived your life.
Absolutely.
With your connections.
Yes.
With your local newsagent, your local butcher, and going into the cafe and Mary knows that you have one sugar and not two or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so important. Margarita's fantastic. Just a quick query. Did they have to register with HICWA? Asked Joe.
No, because we are a non-medical model, and that was really, really important. We're not a medical model. We don't provide any care, but we care.
I see you've all the... Is that on a T-shirt? I agree that older people need to live with other of similar age and supported in the community. In Ireland, we have so few places where older can be looked after. We need warden controlled, where someone lives on the grounds and available 24 hours a day on call. In the UK, they have many places like this. I was in the coffee shop this morning, best scones in Ireland. That's Macaulay Place. A most friendly and helpful staff. Well done all, Christine is. Have you read The Thursday Club? That's set in a retirement village.
Okay.
Have you heard about it?
Yes, I have.
That's set in a retirement. You should read it. I think you'd enjoy it, Dennis. Yeah.
There's another great book, Ray, and it's called Anti-Fragile. And Khalib Nassim, I think, is the name of the author. My son gave me the book. But that Anti-Fragile, like years ago, we stopped kids running in the playground in case they'd fall.
Yeah.
Now we're wrapping cotton wool around old people in case something happens. But we're stopping them having the quality of life. Yes. I'm an older person now. I'm 67. So, like, we need to live in anti-fragile as opposed to fragile situations. And that's what builds up our resilience. Yeah. That's what makes us able to do whatever we can.
You should meet Pat O'Mahony. We'll get the book for you. I think Neil has one. Yeah. I saw one on Neil's desk because he spoke to Pat last week. I have one at home, which I'm keeping for myself. Dennis, it's great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Ray.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you're so happy.
Very happy. Very happy where I am.
Yeah.
And if any of your listeners want to help us to finish the Health Through Learning Centre, like just come and see what it is that we're planning to do.
Macaulay Place. Is it Macaulay Place?
Yes. Yeah,
is that the website as well?
Yes.
Macaulay Place. Fantastic to hear of the wonderful Macaulay Place. Tilda, research study based in Trinity College, supports everything Margarita is saying. Independence, quality of life, mental and physical stimulation, intergenerational relationships, community and laughter. Well done, all involved. Inspirational. The problem in this country, of course, like a lot of countries, we have this 5-year political cycle. So there aren't many votes in this, are there?
Yeah, but we're still in the National Development Plan 2040, and it is cost effective. It is cost effective. You know, but Ray, thank you for highlighting. This is really important. You've given a voice for it, which is really important. So just to keep the thread going.
Yes, and that book, people should read it.
Being mortal. And the Anti-Fragile book as well. Yeah.
Margarita, thank you very much. Dennis, thank you.
Thank you, and hello
to everybody down in Macaulay Place. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Come in for a scone.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Anish Tosh now in the pre-skeleton and note to Eileen Nicahan. Grandma, good. Eileen, thank you very much. Now, I wasn't paying attention. We missed out an ad there in the last hour. So quick. And it is a quick ad. And we'll have our quiz after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now we're back on track. Apologies about that. Still lovely text messages coming in about Margarita and Dennis. And Macaulay Place is the place we were talking about. It's a retirement village of sorts in Naas in County Kildare. Nice place to shop. And that's on the back of our chat with Pat O'Mahony, who has written a book on called Retirement Villages. So that's, I'm sure, that's not the last we'll hear of all of that. But right now, it's time to play our Reeling in the Ears quiz. Yep. We do it every day, and there's always a prize. And this week, it's a two-night stay for two people in the Wineport Lodge outside of Athlone. And it's to celebrate the opening of their Cedarwood Spa. So you get to stay in a deluxe lakeview room with your own lakeshore balcony, breakfast at your leisure each morning, and dinner on one of the nights in their famous restaurant, and then a blissful treatment at Cedarwood Spa, a signature seaweed bath and use of the lakeshore infinity pool, no less. Pure posh. Wineport.ie. Wineport.ie. And on the line we have Olivia Boyle. How are you doing, Olivia?
Hi, Ray.
How are things?
Good, not a bother.
You have a celebration in your house today?
I have.
Yes.
Hannah is celebrating her 15th birthday.
But you can't really enjoy it too much because there's something looming in the not too distant future.
A little exam.
Because we have somebody as well. Is it 5 weeks or 6 weeks? We had a little bit of a debate. So it'd be tomorrow what? Tomorrow 5 weeks, is it?
5 weeks. Yeah, I think it's tomorrow 5 weeks.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And how are things going with Hannah and her preparations?
No, she's getting there. I think I feel sorry for the junior certs because a lot of fuss has been made about the leaving certs and they're giving them concessions, but poor junior certs aren't getting a look in.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing for them.
And they missed out of the 3 years. They've missed out an awful lot of school.
Yeah, so I think they feel a bit hard done by.
I'm sure they'll go easy on them, will they?
Hopefully they will. Yeah. Hopefully they will.
You've been through this before on two occasions.
No, just one actually.
Just one.
I have a leaving cert.
Oh yeah, right. You have a leaving cert.
I have one that's been through the leaving cert, and I have one that's going through the leaving cert this year as
yes,
well.
Yes, but that means two of those have done the inter cert before the junior cert. Yes.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, they have. Yeah. So, the nerves are getting to me.
We're getting confused. We're getting mixed up here. But let's say you've experienced of state exams in your house before.
Yes.
That's fair enough. Yeah. So you know how to handle it. Yeah. It's the first one. It's the first one in our house. So we're just treading carefully.
Keep it calm.
Keep it calm. That's it. Because you have to be calm, don't you? Because all the stuff is going on inside their heads, the worry and all that. You have to stay calm. Right. So who else? There's Emma in college. And what's she doing?
Emma is doing speech and language therapy in NUIG and she has just finished her exams today. So she's finished now for the summer.
Right. And what, third year, second year?
She is in second year.
Right. And Anthony is doing the leaving cert. So you have two.
Anthony's doing the leaving cert.
My tense house in your house. Yeah. So Olivia and Morris, that's you and your hubby went to see Galway beat Kilkenny over the weekend. That was sweet, was
on
it?
Sunday. It was a great match. Oh my goodness, it was so exciting.
Because it was right down to the wire.
Right down, yeah. Final puck of the ball.
Yeah, was it Cooney? Was that, is he the hero of the day? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, wasn't it Cooney? Yeah.
Sure. And then what did you make of the handshake then? So Henry Shefflin, after the game, as is tradition, you go and you shake hands with the other manager. So the other manager being Brian Cody.
I thought I was a bit disappointed.
Why so?
Brian, to be honest. I think he could have made a better effort.
Right.
Considering that it was Henry's,
He could have been more gracious in defeat.
Yes.
Well, I suppose it's a measure of how much he cares. Like,
exactly.
His team had just been beaten.
I'd say he might have regretted it afterwards.
Yes.
And maybe gave him a buzz.
But I think it's great that he still cares that much after all these years and all his success over the years.
Yeah.
Right. You're up against Kiva O'Malley in Dundalk. How are you doing, Kiva?
Hey, Ray.
How are things?
Oh, grand.
Yeah. You were shopping today.
Well, no, I was out in Lidl. I was in the car park when Neil rang me there, but I just had to get a few provisions in because I was away for the weekend, so I had nothing in the house.
Ah, yes. Where did you go? Can you tell us?
I was in Limerick.
Right. Did you have a good time?
I was down for the run. I did the 6 mile, the Great Limerick Run was on. I did the 6 mile there and it was great crack.
Yeah. And was there a full marathon as well?
There was a full marathon and a half marathon, but I wasn't brave enough to take on any of that.
Yeah. And was a good crowd out?
Oh, it was massive. I think they said there was 15,000 running it, and there was loads of people out on the streets.
Yeah.
It was the first one, obviously, in 3 years, So
there's a lot of pent-up demand for that sort of thing, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I would have done it, 2018, 2019, and it was always a great day out, so it was great to be back again.
Yeah. So you're a further education teacher. What do you teach?
A bit of everything. Physics and maths are my main subjects, but I also do a bit of communications and other science topics and some media as well.
Right. Look at you. So I see here that you teach radio and podcasts.
I do a bit of that, yeah. I actually do. I'm a volunteer on local community radio here in Dundalk, so I have a bit of experience myself in broadcasting.
Yes. What sort of show do you do?
Oh, I've done a bit of everything, Ray. I have been in production and I've done current affairs and I've done music shows. And during the lockdown, I was kind of doing a lot of there was only one person in the studio, so just myself kind of playing music and keeping things going.
Yeah. What's the name of the station?
It's Dundalk FM.
Yeah, and you have the bug now. It's addictive, isn't it?
Well, I'm there since 2013. I always had a massive interest in kind of radio. I listened to radio all the time. So, and just fell into it and met some great people. I've had some great opportunities from it. So it's great,
Brilliant. Hello to everybody on Dundalk FM and all their listeners too. Now, it's Olivia plays Kiva, and you have three questions each on three clips. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. A shorter clip is more difficult, so you get 2 points for that. Whoever has the most points at the end gets the prize. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Right. Good luck, Olivia.
Olivia, the year is 2008. 2008, which is what, 14 years ago. And we're starting at the movies. Do you want to go for a long clip or a short clip?
I'm going to go short.
Okay. Liam Neeson stars in this 2008 action thriller in which his daughter is kidnapped. Can you name it? Here is your short clip.
If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Oh, scary.
Taken.
Taken, yes. And that famous telephone call. Well done. 2 points there. Now, Kiva, still 2008, still at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll have to go short as well.
Okay. This 2008 family drama stars Jennifer Aniston and Owen Wilson as a couple who adopt a new family pet. Can you name it? Here is your short clip.
Him you could have for 200 even.
This one? You're so sweet. You're like a little clearance puppy.
Is it Marley and Me?
It is. Marley and You. 2 points. Well done. Based on John Grogan's great book. Marley and Me. So good start from both Olivia and Kiva. Back to you, Olivia. It's music now from 2008. Long or short?
I'll go short again.
Short, right. This went to number one in the charts in 2008. We need the name of the song or the name of the singer.
Pink.
Yes. So what? Yes, is the name of the song. So two for you. Kiva.
I'll have to go short again.
You will, yes, yeah. Right, one of pop music's biggest stars released their debut hit in 2008. Can you name the song or the singer? Here we go.
Lady Gaga.
Yes, Just Dance, right. It's down to the wire, like Kilkenny v Galway. So, Olivia, you're on four, so too are you, Kiva. Final question is on news and current affairs. This is a mixed bag, you can get anything in this. Do you want to go long or short, Olivia?
I'll go short again.
Short, okay. 2008 saw the movie Once pick up the Best Original Song Oscar for Falling Slowly. But can you name the composers? We'll accept one of them. And here is your clue by way of a clip.
We made this film 2 years ago. We shot it on two handy cams.
It's Glenn Hansard.
It is. Marquita or Glover. Either one will do me. You get 2 points. Clean sheet. 6 out of 6. Kiva, now, are you going to bring us to a tiebreak situation?
It'll have to be a short one.
It will, yes. For 2 points, and that means we will go to a tiebreak question if you get this correct. Good luck. Comedian Russell Brand got into some hot water in 2008 after prank calling Fawlty Towers favourite Andrew Sachs. But what other well-known chat show host joined in on the shenanigans? And here is your clip by way of a clue.
The nice thing is we know we could do it again afterwards, so if we should go in a little bit more relaxed this time.
Jonathan Ross.
It is Jonathan Ross, yes. And the event led to Russell Brand eventually resigning from the BBC after the broadcaster received in excess of 18,000 complaints. So, well done, ye two. 6-6, which is great, but unfortunately it means we have to go to a tiebreak question, which I dislike, but it's the only way we can sort it out within the time allotted. Okay, so here's the question we asked you before you went on air. I will repeat it for our listeners at home. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to drive from Bundoran in County Donegal to Inchdonny in County Cork? Olivia, your guess.
I think I went a bit too short. I said 6 hours.
6 hours, right. It's 412 kilometres. 6 hours. And Kiva, your guess.
I said 5 hours.
5 hours. This is one of the closest ones in a long time. There's only 4 minutes between the two of ye. The correct answer is 5 hours and 26 minutes. So it means, Kiva, you're the closest, just about.
Kiva, congratulations.
Oh, my God. Olivia, you put me down to the wire, fair play. And happy birthday to your daughter, and best of luck with all the exams.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks
of you,
very
Kiva.
Much. Have a lovely time.
Yeah, and Olivia, we'll send you out a couple of Radar Show mugs.
Lovely.
Great.
Thanks
talking
very much,
to you.
Ray.
Right, see you,
Thank
Olivia.
You.
Bye, bye,
bye,
bye. Bye. Kiva, you're off to the Wineport Lodge, which is a lovely place to go, and they're celebrating the opening of their Cedarwood Spa, and you can find out all the details of everything Wineport has to offer, and there is a lot there at wineport.ie. Well done,
That's
Kiva.
That's amazing. That's
okay,
amazing. Yes. Thank you so much.
Well done. Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us in studio.
Hey,
it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Just to remind people, because they're saying Conor Pope's on the radio, must be a Monday.
Yeah, because people set their clocks by that, Ray. I think we both know that.
They do. On Monday, you were writing about our changing patterns of drinking.
Yeah.
During the lockdown and the pandemic. And was there a report or something?
Yeah, no, DrinkAware carried out this survey, and it was a fairly exhaustive survey carried out by Behaviour and Attitudes. So they polled all these people to determine how our relationship with alcohol changed over COVID. And there are a lot of really interesting stats in it. Like one of them, for instance, was 55% of Irish adults said they were drinking alcohol on a weekly basis in 2021. Now, that compares with 52% in 2020 and 44% in 2019. So in pre-pandemic times, 44%, post-pandemic or during the pandemic, 55%.
That's
so that's
big
an 11%
jump.
Increase. Yes, yeah. And then according to the poll again, there was 49% of people said they'd engaged in binge drinking in the past 30 days, and that was 46% in 2020, and in 2019 it was 36%.
Right.
Now, the definition of binge drinking, a lot of people would hear that and say, well, that's six standard drinks, that's not binge drinking. Like, you know, and a lot of people say if they go to a pub to watch a match, they might have 3 pints in the first half and then another 2 pints in the second half, and they think that's grand. And for some people it might well be grand. I'm not here to judge them,
but it's defined as binge drinking.
Yeah. And then the study also said that 61% of people were frequently drinking for coping reasons. Now, that was up slightly on 2020, but it was up another 11% on the year before COVID. And you can kind of empathise and understand why people might be doing that, because the last 2 years were really tough, and people were sometimes going, well, geez, there's nothing else going on in my world. You know, I can't do all of those social activities that I might once have done.
Mm.
And like, people would maybe have leaned more towards drinking alcohol. And it's worth highlighting the fact, because, you know, and DrinkAware were just, they're as you know, they're an industry funded charity, and their aim is to, you know, move people away from the misuse of alcohol. That's what,
right.
that's what the charity is doing.
So DrinkAware is...
It's funded
industry
by,
funded.
It is funded by the industry. And as they say, charity, and what they want to do, what they say they want to do is they want to stop the harmful use of alcohol. And that's to anybody's credit, because I don't think we want to be a nation where we're drinking alcohol irresponsibly or harmfully.
It's a while since I've been on their website, but I must revisit it again to see if they list all the harmful effects of drinking. On it.
I was on it yesterday, and in fact, that they do that, and the website will show you, you know, just show you the red flags.
Right.
And it's not the whole thing about, you know, you're an alcoholic if you do X, Y, and Z, because it's not about that, because there's an awful lot of people who are wouldn't even be in the same ballpark as alcoholism, but they might have a troubling relationship with alcohol. And like a lot of people are like that.
Mm.
And I think it's just sometimes it's good to take a step back and say, well, how much am I, you know, what is my relationship with alcohol? Mm. And that's what the survey does. And I would have huge sympathy with people who, because like the 2 years were tough.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, didn't have anything else in their world except maybe a couple
It'd
of glasses of wine.
It'd be interesting to see if we return to pre-pandemic patterns.
Well, that'll be interesting for 2022, 2023.
Okay. Now, pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Connor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. This came in. Dear Connor, I'm constantly hearing about inflation of 5 or 6%, but I think it has to be a lot more when it comes to groceries. Just look at bread, butter and milk. The bread I buy has gone from 1.50 to almost 2 euro. The butter is up from 2.29 to 2.89, and the milk has gone up by at least 30 cent. These are all double digit increases, and I could go on and on. Is it just me, or has anyone else noticed this?
Well, it's not just this person by any means. In fact, according to a survey by Kantar and their retail analysts that was published this morning, around 23% of Irish households at least say they're struggling to get by in the face of a dramatic increase in prices across the up and down their supermarket aisles. And it's not just the three products that this person has mentioned. It's an awful lot of other products. So I know that the question is, well, hang on a second, inflation is only at 5%, yet some of these products are going up by 10, 20, 30%. And one of the reasons for that is the basket of goods that they use to measure inflation is enormous. And some of those products will go up and some of them will go down and some of them will stay the same. So if you look at the basket of goods that you might typically find their way into an Irish supermarket or into an Irish shopping trolley, it's not enormous. There might be 100 products or there might be 60 products or 40 products or 30 products. And, you know, a lot of those products are being really, really hit hard in as a result of the current rate of inflation. So you might be looking at dairy and, you know, you've seen some products going up from 229 to 289 for own brand butter. In some instances, not in all instances, you might see milk going up. You might see bread going up from 150 to 2 euros. That's a big increase. Like, it's a significantly higher increase than the rate of inflation. And of course, an awful lot of this is being fed by the war in Ukraine. And you'll remember we probably talked about price inflation in January and early February. And, you know, we were making estimates.
That was pre-Ukraine, yes.
We were making estimates. Oh, things are really bad now. And, like, hopefully by the summertime, things will have settled down. But even by the roughest calculations in February, when you took into account the increase in the cost of groceries, the increase in the cost of fuel and the increase in the cost of energy for home heating and lighting your home, people were going to be worse off by around 1,500 to 2,000 euro. It's going to be much worse in the months ahead.
There's no good news, is there?
There is no good news. Right. And the thing is, there is a knock-on effect for everything. So one of the interesting things is sunflower oil. Now, you might think, okay, well, I don't use sunflower oil, I'm grand. But, like, the world is running out of sunflower oil for the very simple reason
because
that 95% of it is made in either Ukraine
or Russia.
And so we're not getting that now. And as I say, you might think, oh, well, I don't use sunflower oil because I use olive oil or whatever, rapeseed oil or whatever it might be. But the thing is, when sunflower oil dries up, that's going to have a knock-on effect on the prices of other oils because obviously demand will increase, and once demand increases and supply diminishes, the price goes up. But not only that, the use of sunflower oil, like sunflower oil is used in all sorts of things. And it's the same when it comes to things like dairy. Because, for instance, if the price of milk goes up, and the price of milk might go up because of the energy costs associated with producing the milk goes up. And once the price of milk goes up, well, then the price of everything that contains milk goes up.
Yeah.
And you're having this constant domino effect. So, I mean,
how do they decide what goods are in the basket?
Well, I mean, it's historical. I mean, because the CSO's job is to provide a consistent and balanced.
And it's not just groceries.
It's everything. It's electronics. It's services. It's across the board.
There's things that don't even fit in a basket or anything.
Things that don't even have a physical form.
Yes, yes.
So the rate of inflation is a very useful measure for how things are, but it's not an accurate reflection of how things might be as you go about your shop.
Yes.
And another example would be, for instance, pasta. Pasta is going to go up significantly more than the rate of inflation because an awful lot of the world's exported
wheat. So if you're a big pasta house as opposed to a potato house, you might be, you know, you might be feeling the pinch.
Well, no, absolutely. But again, the price of potatoes could go up, will go up because of the cost of fertilisers and feeds and all that other stuff.
Now, here's the thing we've been talking about for years, and it looks like it's about to happen. Is it the ECB rate? Because there are 400,000 people in Ireland on tracker mortgages.
Absolutely.
And we've been living a sort of a charmed existence, I think, for a number of years.
And it does look like the European Central Bank is going to increase its rates. And that's going to change the picture quite significantly for a lot of people, because it traditionally is the only lever that central banks, be they the Fed in the United States or the Central Bank the Bank of England in the UK or the ECB across the Eurozone, it's the only lever they have to control inflation. Inflation is getting out of control, and the big hope amongst European finance ministers in January and early February was that it was all being driven by higher energy costs, and once the summer came, energy prices would fall because obviously there's less demand and then things would settle down. But of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine completely changed the ballgame entirely. And that means that they can now, the big fear that inflation would become embedded in our economies. So what you'll see is you'll see food prices going up. And then obviously to combat the rate of inflation, the people who work in the manufacturing industry will need higher wages because they'll need to be able to cover the cost of the food that they need to buy. And that will, of course, put further pressure on food producers and suppliers. And then the prices will go up a little bit further. And then everybody who works in the public service or in the private sector have their unions who will need to push for higher wages to protect their members.
Yes.
And again, you enter that spiraling inflation thing that is really a nightmare scenario for everybody.
And it's counterintuitive then, that they'd put up interest rates.
Well, you see, like, you must remember that the European Central, when you put up interest rates, what you're doing is you're constricting the supply of money in the economy. And by constricting the supply of money in the economy, the idea is that you'll have a dampening effect on prices. The other alternative would be to just print loads of money, like they might have done in some banana republics in, you know, South America, or indeed Ireland, in times past. Not suggesting that we did that, but, you know, we might have a little bit. And that's why inflation would have been hitting 15-18% at times.
When is that? I don't expect you to have this off the top of your head, but it's a long time since there's been an increase in the
European. Do you know what? It's at least 7 or 8 years.
Yes.
And in fact, I remember a time writing a piece for the Irish Times about what would happen when interest rates hit 5%. And I think that might have been 2010, and it was a really dark piece going, God, once, because the trajectory of interest rates from the central bank, the European Central Bank, was upward. So they were on the upward curve. And like I was just thinking, oh, my God, you know, if you've got a 300,000 euro mortgage and for every 0.5%.
Of course, there are people listening who got mortgages out and they were in double figures. The interest rate was double figures.
Do you know what? There probably isn't many of them now.
No, is there not?
Oh, but when you think about it, like if 30 years ago was 1992.
Yes.
And I'd say 1994, 95, 96.
They went down.
That's when things started to fall. But you're right.
No, they got them. They may have paid them off, but they did get them.
There's an awful lot. Like my dad, when he would have got out, taken out a mortgage for the house that he bought in 1980, would have been paying double digit 19% mortgages. Right. And the big dream was always if you worked in the bank.
Yes.
If you worked in the bank, you could get your mortgage rated around 3%, and that was just like it seemed incredibly low. But if you were to tell someone on a tracker now that they were going to have to pay 3% mortgage,
it's going to have a big effect on people. And it's 400,000 people out there,
and it will take money from people's pockets.
Yeah.
And I suppose the hope is that the European Central Bank tends to move cautiously on these matters, and it tends to increase its interest rates in increments of a quarter of a point. So you might see
they haven't done it yet, but you might see
a quarter of a point in September. Like, this is speculative.
Yes.
A quarter of a point in November, maybe. And so, you know, it wouldn't have an absolutely hammering impact on people just yet. But it's just one of those things where you have to watch the space.
No, you haven't said that now. Is that going to affect the stock exchange tomorrow?
Literally, Ray, there's nothing I could say that would impact the stock exchange.
Pricewatch at rte.ie. And just, we've had a number of queries. Macaulay Place, we were talking to Margarita and Dennis earlier on about Macaulay Place in Naas, which is a repurposed convent with 53 apartments where people go when you're over 65. It sounds idyllic.
It does.
We reckon that every town and village in the country should have.
See you there, Ray.
I'll be there first, Connor. I'll be there first. Right, that's it from us. Cormac is on his own today. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening. It's this one here, yeah.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.